Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today is Tuesday, which is Tell Del Tuesday, a version of which we bring on members of Lifestyles Unlimited who have excelled in the process and let them share their story. The reason we've done this for the last 20, 25 years is that I've always believed that, you know, people go, well, who is that guy on the radio? And some of you think, oh, I'm just a radio broadcaster like so many other guys are. And then other people think, wow, this guy is really a rich real estate investor. Nothing like me. I'm not that way at all. And in both those cases, you're wrong because you are just like our Lifestyles members. You're out there. You're working every day. You're successful to the level that what you're doing can get you there. Today is a perfect example. We have a very successful couple. They've risen very high in corporate America, made quite a bit of money. They're in the higher economic echelon in our society. And yet, for some reason, they decided to change over and start building passive streams of income. So we're very happy today to have Barack and Alex Tarofsky with us. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hi, Del.
Hi. Hi, Del, and all the listeners.
And well, how's California, by the way, for the listeners there, they live in Mountain View, California. And so I'm wondering, as you survive out there through all of the fires and the stuff that goes on, the earthquakes and whatever, the high taxes, everybody wants to know why people pick living in California.
Air quality today is good. So lifestyle-wise, we enjoy California. Investing-wise, we definitely prefer to invest in other states.
Yeah. California is still surviving.
Yeah, I just laugh because I always make the joke that people pay a lot of taxes to live where there's a lot of problems. But, of course, it's obviously beautiful, and we all like to visit there. And you've just lived there. But I think you've lived there because that's really where both of your careers really sprouted and grew strong, correct?
Yes, correct.
That's right.
And thanks to you, we're also trying to lower our taxes by investing in real estate.
That's a good idea. I like that. You should tell people about that. So why don't you share with everybody what you guys do so that they can align themselves with you as far as somebody who's gone through corporate America, and then we'll get into what you did.
Sure. So we are product leaders in technology companies. Currently, we are both at Google, and previously we worked in companies like Facebook and Microsoft. So we have a pretty successful career and pretty good income, W-2 income, for many years. And historically, we always wanted to kind of invest in real estate, but since we are kind of this engineering background, we had this classical analysis paralysis syndrome that we thought about investing in real estate, initially single family for 10 years, analyzed, learned, didn't do anything. Then we heard about lifestyles from friends, and it took us 3 years to start investing. But then when we went to a two-day seminar with David Fisher, that was kind of this aha moment that we decided to rapidly invest and specifically invest in multifamily. So that's basically kind of our story in a nutshell, and we are happy to expand on our like real estate part as well.
So who was the advocate when you started, and was either of you a skeptic?
Yes.
Yeah, good one.
Great question. So I was the person that always were kind of looking for avenues to create, call it passive income. And by the way, Dale, back to your point about California, the main motivation, addition, obviously generating wealth, was actually to generate much more tax-efficient wealth because we're all painfully aware how much taxes we are paying. So that was the kind of the main catalyst, and I was the person who kind of looking for this. As I said, caught in a bit of analysis paralysis. But then when we decided to invest, Alex, for the first 2 years, was in the approach of kind of executive chairman, so to speak, kind of like, do whatever you like, just don't lose money. That was her kind of guidance, and I tried to stick to that for the first 2 years until she got interested.
Yeah, after 2 years, turned out, heck, this is amazing. I need to get in.
Yeah, it's funny how that does that to you, huh, Alex?
It is.
So you guys got in, and right away, Barack, you started doing passive deals, I think. Isn't that the way you started?
Correct. In the first 2 years, I was pretty aggressive, basically trying to make up for analysis paralysis. 10 years of analysis paralysis, and multifamily proved to be very effective because it's basically, you can scale if you want to deploy significant capital, you can scale it quickly. So the first 2 years, I invested in roughly 30 multifamily lifestyle deals, yeah.
Yeah, it says here you did 35, and then they sold some and refinanced some and so forth. But 35 is a lot of deals to do in just a couple of years. I mean, you joined in 2017, so actually 16, my bad, 2016. So that's really 4 years to get that many deals done, along with the fact that you've already done one as a lead. So it's a lot of to accomplish. Let's talk about when you were coming out of the analysis paralysis for an engineer type-based person or a very highly educated base people like both of you are. What was it when you came to the 2 day that was the aha moment, the light bulb that said, this is how we get over this and do it?
Yeah, great question. And by the way, back to your point about skepticism, I think initially I was thinking about single family because that's what I thought about it. And I'm like, I'm not going to pay, I don't remember, I think it was $10,000 or $12,000 at that time. For, you know, limited membership lifestyles. I can find single-family deals myself. That was kind of my model, but because I heard a lot from, you know, from our friends, I said, okay, I will go and learn, hear something. And then, on the second day, when David Fisher started talking about multifamily and explained how it's fundamentally different and how much it is better for a person like me that has, you know, significant capital deployed if I want to, that was the aha moment, because in our career, we're all about scaling. Technology is all about applying scale. The moment I understand that would allow you, if you know what you're doing, to scale your investments across multiple deals, and the deals are bigger than single-family deals, that was, in my opinion, the aha light bulb moment for us.
How about you, Alex? Obviously, you weren't on board in the beginning. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, so but I came back and was like, well, we're going to join and do this. I was like, well, that's quite a chunk of money. Are you sure you want to do this? He's like, yeah, we need to try, et cetera. I'm like, all right, don't lose money. Check it out. And then 2 years later, we keep getting these checks in the mail, Del, right? Which I'm like, is this for real? Is this like an actual check we can cash? And Barack is like, yeah. And they keep piling up, and I'm like, man, what did we just discover? And so I start looking at the education on the portal, and that's where my aha moment was. And I think like there was a really interesting part there about how sort of the very high-end, very, very rich families of this world, how do they sort of think about building wealth and how they make sure that their money works for them as opposed to the other way around. And that just made a fundamental shift in my thinking. I also, of course, every day of my life, I go and work for the money. But the money should work for me. And from then on, I was just sold. I wanted to know more and more. I wanted to be more and more involved. And here we are today.
Absolutely. Just nothing like having money working for you. In fact, now that I'm 64 years old, and I look back at it, and, you know, I've been retired since I was 34, so that's 30 years. For 30 years, I just kept thinking to myself, I should spend all my money. I have lots of money. I should spend it all and have a great time. And I go, but I'm too cheap, because if I take that money, it stops making me more money. It's addicting to have money being coming in and you're not working. That's just a beautiful thing. So I get your point there, Alex. There's no doubt about it. That working money working for you is something else. Barack, did you sit down with Alex, or was it simply you sat down, did the analysis, and decided what properties to buy into at the first?
Yes, Alex, as I said, was an executive chairman mode. Like, I don't care about the details. I mean, I will hold you accountable. Yes, she was like, I will hold you accountable if you screw up, but other than that, you're on your own. So I did a lot of education, and at that time, actually, the California chapter that is now huge, there was very few people, so we basically were getting together once a once in a couple of weeks and basically talking about leads, talking about deals, etc. The key about that is that we're very proactive. I talked to a bunch of passive, power passives like Steve Rosen, Austin, Lagini, Guinea, and Brian Maupin in Dallas. So I wanted to talk to people. I think that's one of the amazing things about lifestyles, that you have this community. When people are strengthened,
let's pick up on that. Let's pick up that on the other side of the break, because they're kicking us out the back end. We'll pick up on the. We'll be right back with Barack and Alex and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Del Walmsley talks about positive cash flow, tax-free.
I bought one little rent house. So a month later, I bought three more. Now I started receiving even more positive cash flow. $880 a month positive cash flow after just 2 months. This cash flow was tax-free because of the way I did it. Because if you know how to do it the right way, you won't pay taxes on that.
Give yourself a raise, tax-free. Find out how at Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Register today at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today with me on Tell Del is Barack, Tell Del Tuesday is Barack and Alex Travosky out of California. And Barack, as we went to break, you were starting to discuss the connections that you made. And I want to say here for all the folks listening that Barack is a natural born connector. I mean, he got out there and met with people, other people in the group. And what's interesting is that there's a lot of like-minded people coming out of the California market, because I think a lot of people have come from similar backgrounds. But you dug right in, and then you didn't stop there. You got to know a lot of people in Dallas. In fact, if I can remember, that's a while back, but if I remember right, you were even flying out to Dallas to go to classes and or seminars and meet people and so forth. Do I remember that right or not?
Yeah, correct. Both Dallas, Houston, and Austin, San Antonio. I've visited all those.
Were you surprised coming out of corporate America, where people guard their secrets very carefully? Were you surprised how open people were about these investments?
Unbelievably surprised. And you know, I will talk a bit when we'll go about our experience as leads. Then it's even bigger surprise because leads are opening their books. But yes, I was amazingly surprised, and that's to me the beauty of lifestyle model, that was a great fit to people like us, because I forgot to mention one additional important aspect. In addition to, you know, why I was so motivated. In a weird way, it's probably a weird part of my character. The moment I put 20 grand on the same day that I listened to David Fisher, I was very motivated. I'm like, I need to put my money to work now. I paid $20,000. That was a huge motivator. And I believe that many people in lifestyles are sharing those views, because they're like, okay, I put the membership fee. I have access to all those amazing deals. I need to be proactive and not sit on my butt just to wait for deals to come. You need to reach out and learn about leads, about deals, et cetera. So that was a big motivation. But as I say, passives and leads being so open about sharing their numbers, their honest opinions about people, about leads, and about deals was pretty amazing.
Yeah, I'll add that I didn't even believe it at first. I was like, everyone is telling you everything? For real?
Yeah, that is hard to believe, but I'll tell you, it's contagious. It's kind of a groupthink thing. It's contagious, almost like I don't even want to go there. I was going to say like a religion, but it's not a religion. But it in essence puts people together that have like-minded goals in life, and they want to get where they want to get, and they're willing to do whatever they got to do to get there. And sharing seems to work. In fact, so much so, somebody like yourselves working in corporate America would never think of giving away your skill sets and your secrets for free. Yet we've got Alex volunteering to help us add education to our program. How did that come about, Alex?
That's exactly right. This is an amazing culture that you guys have built of this unbelievable community. Everyone gives back, whether they're just talking to other passives or other leads and opening your books and opening your mind, right? And I honestly felt like a responsibility to give back as much as I can. And I wanted to share my experience and my experience with as many people as possible and help them get and achieve to their goals.
Well, you have some very specific skill sets, and it was very nice of you to share them with us. Let's go back to Barack for a second. Barack, and when we first started this and you went through your analysis, did you deem in your plan that it was better to pick the lead or the deal? How did you weigh the investment?
Great question. And again, luck to lifestyles. Actually, the person who influenced me the most in my passive career, so to speak, was Curtis Haynes, which I talked to him pretty early. He was a mentor at that time. Again, he was not quote unquote my mentor, but that's the beauty of Lexus community. I reached out to him and said, "Yeah, let's talk." And his view was that you need to actually do both. You need to first vet the lead, whether he has the right expertise. But you also need to vet the deal. And his point was that I fully embrace that a bad lead could make even a good deal bad. But usually, almost always, a good lead cannot make a bad deal good. So that was kind of my mantra, and that's how I looked and analyzed deals as a passive and, frankly, as a lead as well.
That's excellent. And as you went through, did your plan change any? You know, hindsight is pretty 20/20. And as you got mm-hmm. through doing these deals, as you went from 1 to 5 to 10 to 20 to 30, did you start to change your plan?
Yeah, great question. So, yes, so to a large extent, actually, our lead career started from that. So, basically, after roughly 20 deals in Texas, and I think, actually, Dale, you were, you know, big trigger on this, because in one of your I believe it was an expo, you said, start to diversify away from Texas as well. So add deals not only in Texas. And I felt that I have a lot in Texas. So I started to look at other markets. And then we basically discovered new leads that now are one of our dearest friends, Vibe Hapshah, who invested both in California, made a killing on the deals that we invested, and then in Arizona, and in other places like Atlanta, like Florida, etc. That's actually how we eventually decided to also become leads, and there was a very deliberate process to choose Arizona as a market we will invest.
Yeah, it's interesting because I've been buying a lot of stuff recently over the last 6 months around the country, and you throw in a different variable there. It's like, okay, now I know what I want. What kind of a business do I want? What kind of a lead product do I want? And then you go, okay, what size am I willing to go to and how much am I willing to spend? How much risk am I willing to take to get a higher rate of return? You know, because when you get out in these businesses, there is that variable, you know, you can take on something really risky, but potential for returns might be higher, but unless you can bring it down, it won't work. But then you throw in, what about where it's located? And location's starting to bug me. Never bugged me when everything I bought was within my city that I lived in, right? I mean, there was no location challenge other than I don't want to be in the worst part of town. But other than that, it was really not that. But now I have to throw that variable in. So now that you, not now that, because you started as a nationalized investor from the very beginning, coming out of California, not finding that we had a lot of product going down in California, you had to go other places. Now that I'm doing buying stuff all over the country, location is taking on a larger part of my variable, you know, in my decision to buy something. How did, because you started, see, I've always bought locally, now I'm buying throughout the whole country. You started buying throughout the whole country. So how much did location mean to you? Or was it just get whatever I can, wherever I can, with a good lead?
Yeah, so I think to some extent we followed the development of lifestyle to a large extent. Lifestyle, even when we started in 2016, was predominantly or exclusively Texas. So we invested in Texas, and Texas was and still is one of the greatest markets to invest in real estate. So it was a good choice. I believe that like right around the time we started was the first ever national deal, I believe, in Michigan by Scott and Nicole. Was it Scott, right? And then more and more national deals came out, and that combining with the guidance that you gave, that like, if you have a lot of deals in Texas, it's a smart idea to diversify locations. We started to look at other locations. But generally speaking, we're location agnostic, definitely as a passive. We just wanted to learn about this location.
Okay, obviously, we got to go to break again. We're going to go to break. We'll pick it back up when we get back. We'll be right back with Barack and Alex and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. With me here today is Barack and Alex Strawski, and they are out of Mountain View, California. They bought into 35 different apartment complexes, and then decided they were going to go ahead and become lead investors themselves. So as you you work your way into this, tell me what you started to think, because obviously your mindset started to change, and something led you to want to be a lead yourself. Can you kind of help share with the audience what that mindset change was over that three-year period of time, I guess it was?
Or, you know, maybe pleasantly surprised that we keep getting checks and even getting some property financed and sold and seeing all those amazing returns. And then I think when he decided that that's a great thing to consider, then we said, you know, as we are like this power team and we both have complementary skills, maybe we should actually lead and become lead investors. So that was kind of the thinking about it. And again, lead investing in long term provides even bigger, pretty insane tax benefits, which, as I mentioned, was a big decision to even start looking into passive investments, understanding that, you know, not only that you need to work for money, you want money to work for you, but how many amazing tax benefits it gives to people that have pretty high W-2 income. So those two things, I think, basically, Alex becoming interested and understanding all those amazing things that real estate can bring you led us to the decision to become lead.
Now, by becoming a lead, did that throw you into the real estate professional category?
And not yet. It's only when one of us will be doing it full-time. But that's one of the things that, you know, we generally believe that we love what we do, but we want to generate enough passive income that we will decide to work because we want to, not because we need to. So that was kind of our thinking. But then if one of us are real estate professional and doing it full time, that's a pretty amazing tax benefit.
Yeah, that's when they really kick in, is when one of you is a real estate professional. But still thinking about this, in my mind, when I envision your family's financial position, I think about high income earners. And I remember this when I was young and I was trying to become wealthy. And I thought about, okay, this guy that I know right now, he's rich, he's a dentist. And I was thinking, what do you think this guy's worth? And he was probably worth maybe $2 million, $3 million. Going, man, how do you save $2 million, right? And then you realize they make a lot of money. But what you have to also realize is they've been a dentist for 10 or 15 years. They make a lot of money for a long time. But they don't really ever make any money with that money, or that $2 million would be $10 or $20 million. And so I see guys like your family with two big incomes coming out of highly compensated positions. And unless you guys just spend it left and right, you've got to be saving like big dogs. And the ability to just keep funding and funding and funding more passives, your wealth has to be growing exponentially over the last 4 years, has it?
Yes, correct. I mean, it's sometimes now I need to do it because I need to provide my personal financial statement. Definitely. We definitely see it. And even more important, as you said, you see the system working, that you're getting checks from distributions, but also getting big checks from, you know, refinancing and sales that in many cases, like, sometimes triple your money, easily double or triple your money, and then you can invest more and more into real estate. So it's actually amazing just to see how it works.
The virtuous cycle, that's what I would say.
So you're going along and this stuff is working, and you've got a system, you've got a family investment fund, and you've got your CEO and your CFO, both of you here doing your different positions, and then one of you decides, hey, why don't we go do this ourselves? Where did that come from?
Yeah, so I think Alex and I mean, I was kind of helping Alex to get educated, and we saw Courtney Payne's video called How to Generate Real Wealth. And that, I think, was another light bulb moment for Alex. I mean, she should speak for herself, that we understood, like, how the power of it and how it actually can create even more powerful things. And One additional thing that we really like about it, especially in multifamily, how much more control you have over your destiny. Because at the end of the day, in corporate world, you, even if you're highly compensated and very valuable individuals, the control is with the corporation. And we wanted to basically create a situation that we have much more control. And we found it as a passive in multifamily deal because they still have much more control compared to single family, because single family valuations based on the market, while multifamily valuations based on the work you do to increase NOI and increase your profit. And we found that very profound. But then we found being a lead investor and becoming, you know, getting control, more and more control to yourself. You decide when you make a deal, when you find the right deal, you decide what to do with it, et cetera. We found it very empowering to ourselves as well.
Now, you're some form of an engineer, are you not?
Yes, both of us.
So that in itself has got to be alluring, the ability to build something, to improve something.
Exactly.
I mean, you know the old engineer saying. The engineer's saying is, if it's not broken, it needs upgrades. Right? So it's always got to be tinkered with, right? Isn't that what an engineer believes? It's always got to be tinkered with?
Absolutely. That's what the technology industry is built on. I'll say that I actually found both of applicability to the skills of building technology products that we did throughout the years. I literally look at these apartment complexes as a product that I'd like to shape and build and, like, sort of coming up with a vision of where it needs to be in order to generate good things for the tenants and amazing returns for the investors. So that was actually fascinating to be able to see that, how you can apply it and how exciting that is.
You know, I hope we don't go too high over the heads of most listeners, but the truth of the matter is that's exactly what it is. In fact, it's like a project, and you're taking on a project, and quite honestly, I create Gantt charts. In other words, what gets done when and why and what has to go first and what does it all cost and what's the budget? Do you guys do that same thing?
Yeah, we do that. We do that for our real estate, and we've done that at work for decades.
Yeah, so it's a great applicability. Yes. And by the way, probably it's not surprising that a lot of very successful leads and lifestyles are ex-engineers.
Yeah, you're right. It is. It's very applicable, put it that way. Now, Alex, so you brought in another skill set and shared it with everybody. Why don't you share how important your skill set is and what you did to help others with it?
Yeah, absolutely. So throughout my career, I've done a lot of work with online marketing and ads, both at Facebook and at Google, and that allowed me to really get insights of how powerful digital presence and digital marketing can be and how important it is in the world of today where everyone on their phones, and I'm not even talking about the pandemic, which took it to the next level, right? I started sort of experimenting how we can take that power of this digital marketing and apply it to real estate, and found a lot of great ways of how we can increase our presence and reach more tenants and get more conversions. And, yeah, started sharing this with leads and made a course as part of lifestyle education and have spoken at Expo and generally continue to believe that the power of digital presence plays a big role in how you actually grow the real estate investment and how you make an apartment complex sort of reach its business goals. So,
Alex, as she was teaching this, we were really enjoying having her expertise there. Did you, Alex, teach also at the Expo?
I did, yeah. Twice.
Were you guys surprised when you came to your first Expo, how large they were?
Oh my gosh. I think this is probably the largest and most inspiring event of like-minded people in the strongest community I have ever been to. And I've been to many conferences, we should say. Expo is, completely addictive.
When you went to your first one, do you remember walking into the networking room and seeing a gigantic auditorium with, 300 or 400 leads networking with thousands of people? Did that kind of impress you?
Yeah, very much so. My eyes went around the room and I was like, well, who should I go talk to first? There's so many opportunities.
Was it interesting to you guys at all that, and I'm just sort of touting out some of the stuff that amazes me when I walk around it, and by the way, there's so many good people working on our staff here that stuff gets done. It's not me. It just gets done. But it blew my mind how many very famous people are within our group. In other words, if you're within our group, if you belong, there are probably 100 people that everybody knows by sight, by name,
yep,
and by story. Would you agree?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right.
And you go to the bar to have a drink, and they're all standing right there, and they're just normal people. Just normal people. And that's what gets me. I'm going to take a short break. We'll be right back and finish up with Barack and Alex and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Del Walmsley on Having a Plan.
The year I got cancer and could not work for 8 months, I lost 50 pounds. I want to tell you that I made $4 million that year. I made more that year than any year I'd ever made previous to that in my life. And I'm not telling you that to impress you. I'm telling you that to impress upon you. I didn't go to work for 8 months. That's a plan.
Create your plan at Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me today is Barack and Alex Trowski from Mountain View, California. They have bought 35 passive investments and decided to become a lead investor. I want to get into this lead investor deal that you've done. You decided to make the leap, and then you decided to go out there and raise the capital and buy a property. So quick couple questions that I've got to get out here today is, how did you decide on Phoenix as a place to buy your property when you live in California?
Great question. So as you can see, we are very different people in terms of like doing analysis on where to invest, how to invest, and who to invest. So it started on the passive side, but then obviously on the, when we became lead, we wanted to basically look at the right location. And we investigated multiple parameters. The first parameter was like how fast you can be in the market. It's very critical to show, you know, your team in Phoenix, like your brokers and lending, et cetera, that you are very responsive, that you literally, they bring you a deal next day, you're in Phoenix and you, you know, putting the property. So that was the first aspect. The second aspect was about, we also have relatives in Phoenix. So it's basically combining business with pleasure. And we knew the market because of that. And finally, we looked at, you know, in a very simplistic manner, when you look at the market, we looked at what is the potential to increase income, which usually depends on population and job growth, and also what's the situation on expenses. Do we have high predictability on your expenses? Because obviously NOI is income minus expenses. So we found out that Phoenix or Arizona in general is literally a multifamily powerhouse because, A, it's one of the leading areas in the nation in terms of job and population growth, alongside with great markets like Texas and Florida, but also it has great stability on expenses. For example, on property taxes in Arizona are kept by law to increase no more than 5%, and it actually does not matter whether you purchased it or not. So basically, it does not reset when you bought it for higher price. It just continues to grow up to 5%. And it's up to 5%. We just got our tax bill. Our tax increase was 1.2% this year. And another amazing thing is about insurance costs. Insurance costs, we last year got $300 lower insurance premium than a year before. And we know that in many places, including in Texas, insurance costs are increasing and property taxes are increasing. So that was the kind of three things that really, really helped us zero in on Phoenix and Arizona as our market.
Well, that's really interesting because property tax increases is one of the major problems in Texas. And it's just really banging a bunch of people that haven't thought it out or didn't realize it could happen. So that's a great thing to control expenses. But I never thought about Arizona as being in the middle of the country. They don't have hurricanes or tornadoes or you know, that kind of stuff. Do they, or do they just sandstorms and droughts, right? I don't know.
Yeah, they have nothing. That's why it's not increasing. And this is great.
That is good. So you bought this property. How did you decide what size to buy?
Yeah, so LifePulse in that regard also provides a great guidelines, because you basically, as a lead, to make sure that you're a good steward of passive money, you need to invest 15% of capital yourself. So that basically said, okay, how much money we comfortable to invest in a single deal? We basically said, okay, this is the deal we want to start with, plus which deal we consider we can A, digest, and B, learn a lot, because we also, you know, we're just becoming leads. It was very important for us to learn, and we can stay hands-on. So that was basically the purchase price and unit size. We basically say between, you know, 70 to 100 units. We, because we have, you know, higher net worth, we wanted to go a bit higher than, let's say, 10 or 20 units, because you definitely have economies of scale when you go higher number of units.
So you bought about a year ago, which means you had about 6 good months of ability to turn it around, and then bam, they punched you in the face with COVID. Has COVID been a problem in Arizona?
You know, surprisingly, Arizona is one of, first of all, multifamily real estate is one of the most resilient sectors, definitely in the real estate space. But Arizona is also one of the best markets to withstand it. Just to give you a sense, last month, still in the middle of the COVID, our collections was 110%, 10% higher than pre-COVID peak. So we generally, Arizona is withstanding it extremely well. Obviously, you know, there is still a lot of uncertainty with ban on evictions and everything. But generally speaking, we're very pleasantly surprised and very, very happy with our performance. We hardly had any dip. Our biggest dip was like 4% dip in collection in 1 month, and then we immediately recovered. And we are now 10%. Last month, we're 10% more than our pre-COVID peak. So we're very happy with it, but obviously also cautious, because there's still a lot of uncertainty around.
Well, you did a great job. You analyzed a great property, great location, and you've operated well, and that's to your, what's the word for it, your congratulations. At this point now, 1 year later, what's next for you guys? We've only got 1.5 minutes left to answer that.
Yeah, it's very simple. We are under contract, and we are now doing due diligence for the second property. And so that's basically our midterm goals or short-term goals. And longer term, we want to buy more properties and basically, as I say, to be in a situation that we're financially dependent, unrelated to, you know, what happened with corporations or what happened with the market, what happens with maybe our health, et cetera. We want to be financially independent and then decide, you know, if we want to continue working, is because we want to, because we like it, not because we need to.
That's great. What size property is your second property that you're in contract on?
It's an 80-unit property in Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay, great. What would you say to someone out there that's in the same kind of financial position you're in, works in corporate America, especially you guys? You got both of you tied to the same wagon out there at Google. So what would you say to the average family like yourselves that have already made it? And very easy to believe that, hey, I've already made it, I don't need anything else. What would you say, and you've got 30 seconds left to say it?
Yeah, I think financial dependence is not the high-paying job. That's not financial dependence, because it depends on your ability to continue working, and you don't know what can happen with the market or with your own health. So it's very critical, even for diversification perspective, to basically get into passive tax advantage, or in many cases, tax-free wealth creation. That would be our advice to those people.
I'll say it more simply. Make your money work for you. Don't just work for your money.
Excellent. Way to end the show. Brock, Alex, thank you very much for what you do, both as lead investors, and Alex, what you do as an educational part of our program. And the rest of you out there, remember this. It's not just more money. It's a lifestyle. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you again,
Bill. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught, so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.